I wonder how our princely father escaped. Or whether he'd escaped away or no from Clifford and Northumberland's pursuit.
Had he been tamed, we should have heard the news. Had he been slain, we should have heard the news.
Had he escaped, methinks we should have heard the happy tidings of his good escape.
How fares my brother? Why is he so sad?
I cannot join till I be resolved where our right valiant father has become. I saw him in the battle range about, and watched him how he singled Clifford forth. He thought he bore him in the thickest troop, as doth a lion in a herd of meat, or as a bear encompassed round with dogs, who, having pinched a few and made them cry, the rest stand all aloof and bark at him. So fared our father with his enemies. So fled his enemies, my warlike father. He thinks 'tis prize enough to be his son.
See how the morning opes the golden gates and takes her farewell of the glorious sun. How well resembles it the prime of youth, trimmed like a young calf, prancing to his love.
Dazzle mine eyes. What do I see? Three sons.
Three glorious sons. Each one a perfect son. Not separated with the racking clouds, but severed in a pale, clear, shining sky.
See, they join, embrace, and seem to kiss as if they vowed some league inviolable. Now are they but one man, one light, one sun. In this the heaven figures some event.
It's wondrous strange, the light yet never heard of. I think it sides us brothers to the field.
That we, the sons of brave Plantagenet, each one already blazing by our means, should notwithstanding join our lights together and overshine the earth. And this the world.
Whate'er it bodes.
Henceforward will I bear upon my target three fair shining sons.
Nay, fair three daughters. By your leave, I speak it. You love the breeder better than the male. What art thou, whose heavy looks foretell some dreadful story hanging on thy tongue?
One that was a woeful looker on. When as the noble Duke of York was slain, your princely father and my loving lord...
Speak no more, for I've heard so much!
Say how he died, for I will hear it all.
Environed he was with many foes, and stood against them as the hope of Troy against the Greeks that would have entered Troy. But Hercules himself must yield to odds, and many strokes, though with a little axe, used down and fells the hardest timbered oak. By many hands your father was subdued, but only slaughtered by the ireful arm of unrelenting Clifford. And the queen, who crowned the gracious duke in high despite, laughed in his face. And when with grief he wept, the ruthless queen gave him to dry his cheeks a napkin, seated in the harmless blood of sweet young Rutland by rough Clifford slain. And after many scorns, many foul taunts, they took his head. And on the gates of York they set the same. And there it doth remain, the saddest spectacle that e'er I viewed.
Duke of York, our prop to lean upon. Now thou art gone, we have no staff, no stay.
Oh, Clifford, savage Clifford, thou hast slain the flower of your unpoised chivalry. How treacherously hast thou vanquished him from hand to hand. He would have vanquished thee. Now is my soul's palace become a prison. Oh, would she break from hence, that this my body might in the ground be closed up in rest. For never henceforth shall I joy again. Never. Never shall I see poor joy.
I cannot weep, for all my body's moisture scarce serves to quench my furnace burning heart. Nor can my tongue unload my heart's great burden. Self-same wind that I should speak with all is kindling coals that fires all my breast and burns me up with flames that tears would quench. To weep is to make less the depth of grief. Tears then for babes, blows and revenge for me. Wretched, I bear thy name, I'll venge thy death, or die renowned by attempting it.
His name, that valiant duke hath left the beast. His dukedom and a chair with me is left.
Nay, if thou be that princely eagle's bird, show thy descent by gazing against the sun. For chair and dukedom, throne and kingdom, say, either that is thine or else thou were not his.
up there, Lord. What's that?
What news abroad?
Great Lord of Warwick, if we should recount our baleful news, and at each word's deliverance stab poignards in our flesh till all were told, but words would add more anguish than the wounds. O valiant Lord, the Duke of York is slain.
Oh, Warwick.
That Plantagenet, which held thee dearly as his soul's redemption, is by the stern Lord Clifford done to death.
10 days ago, I drowned these news in tears. And now, to add more measure to your woe, I come to tell you things sith then befallen. After the bloody fray at Wakefield Fort, where your brave father breathed his latest gasp, tidings, as swiftly as the post could run, were brought me of your loss and his depart. I, then in London, keeper of the king, mustered my soldiers, gathered flocks of friends, and very well appointed, as I thought, marched towards St. Albans to intercept the queen, bearing the king in my behalf along, for by my scouts I was adverted said that she was coming with a full intent to dash our late decree in Parliament, touching King Henry's oath and your succession. Short tale to make, we at St. Albans met, our battles joined, and both sides fiercely fought. But whether 'twas the coldness of the king, who looked full gently on his warlike queen that robbed my soldiers of their heated spleen, or whether 'twas report of her success, or more than common fear of Clifford's rigour, who thunders to his captives blood and death, I cannot judge. But, to conclude with truth, their weapons, like to lightning, came and went. Our soldiers, like the night owl's lazy flight, or like an idle thresher with a flail, fell gently down, as if they struck their friend. I cheered them up with justice of our cause, with promise of high pay and great rewards, but all in vain. They had no heart to fight, and we in them no hope to win the day. So that we fled. The king unto the queen, my lord the Duke of Norfolk, and myself in haste, post haste, are come to join with you, for in the marches here we heard you were making another head to fight again.
Where is the Duke of Norfolk, gentle Warwick?
Some 6 miles off, the Duke is with us.
'Twas odds, belike, when valiant Warwick fled. Oft have I heard his praises in pursuit, but ne'er till now his scandal of retire.
Oh, now, my scandal, Richard, dost thou hear? For thou shalt know this strong right hand of mine can pluck the diadem from Saint Henry's head and wring the awful scepter from his fist, were he as famous and as bold in war as he is famed for mildness, peace, and prayer.
I know it well, Lord Warwick. Blame me not. 'Tis love I bear thy glories makes me speak. But in this troublous times, what's to be done? Shall we go throw away our coats of steel and wrap our bodies in black mourning gowns, numbering our Ave Maris with our beads? Or shall we on the helmets of our foes tell our devotions with revengeful arms? If for the last day I am so it, lords!
Why, therefore, Warwick came to seek you out, and therefore comes my brother Montague.
Attend me, lords! The proud insulting queen, with Clifford and the hawk Northumberland, and of their feather many mow-proud birds, have wrought the easy melting king like wax. He sware consent to your succession, his oath enrolled in the Parliament, and now to London all the crew are gone to frustrate both his oath and what beside may make against the House of Lancaster.
Their power, I think, is 30,000 strong. Now, if the help of Norfolk and myself, with all the friends that thou, brave Earl of March, amongst the loving Welshmen canst procure, will but amount to 25,000.
Why, via! To London will we march amain, and once again cry, charge upon our foes, but never once again turn back and fly.
Aye, now methinks I hear great Warwick speak. Then may he live to see a sunshine day that cries retire, if Warwick bid him stay.
Lord Warwick, on thy shoulder will I lean. And when thou fall'st, as God forbid the hour, must Edward fall, which peril heaven forfend.
No longer Earl of March, but Duke of York.
The next degree is England's royal throne. For King of England shalt thou be proclaimed in every borough as we pass along. And he that throws not up his cap for joy shall for the folk make forfeit of his head. King Edward, George, brave Richard, Montague, stay we no longer dreaming of renown, but sound the trumpet and about our task.
And Clifford, were thy heart as hard as steel as thou hast shown it flinty by thy deeds, I come to pierce it or to give thee mine.
Then strike up from God and St. George for us!
And now, my friend, what news?
The Duke of Norfolk sends you word by me. The Queen is coming with a puissant host and craves your company for speedy counsel.
Why, then, it's thought. Brave warriors, let's away!